As we all know, no one is perfect. We all make mistakes from time to time. The question is never whether or not we make mistakes, but are we deliberately sinning, acting with pride, insisting on doing things our way, and not walking humbly, submissive to God? You know, we are a complex mixture of thoughts, emotions, and actions. We all sin, and we will continue from time to time until Jesus Christ returns to this earth. And because of Adam's rebellion against God, the struggle against sin and the ungodly character is something that all mankind is cursed with and will be until Christ returns. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, Paul says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, he also says, "Therefore, just as though one man's sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned." So the gift of the Holy Spirit literally provides us with a new spiritual nature. We receive it as a gift from God. So now it now becomes our responsibility as God's called people to live as we transform our life to mimic the character of Christ. So the sermon title for today, How to Develop Righteous Character. And my purpose for this is to show how important righteous character is and why we must have it. What does God say about character? God absolutely cares about our character. So much that we could say that the Bible is the character textbook. It is filled with instructions on what it means to live righteously. The Bible is also filled with stories of men and women who have lived righteously, and also those who have not lived the way of life. All of these are written in the Scriptures for our learning. One of the first records in the Bible is about a man, Adam, who failed to heed God's instructions. And this resulted in total calamity and pain that is even with us today. And the leading cause of Adam's failure here was character. To give a good definition of righteous character, beyond the dictionary's definition, of course, we should notice some of the writings of Mr. Armstrong. Copyright 1978. What science cannot discover about the human mind? He writes about the righteous character. So Mr. Armstrong writes, quote, "Character is the ability in a single entity to come to comprehend and distinguish the true values from the false, the right way from the wrong, to choose the right and reject the wrong, and with power of will to do the right and resist the evil." So Mr. Armstrong wrote this back in the 70s. And he also wrote, In the Mystery of the Ages book, copyright 1985, quote, perfect, holy, righteous character is the ability in such separate entities to come to discern the true and right way from the false, to make voluntarily a full and unconditional surrender to God and His perfect way, to yield, to be conquered by God, to determine even against temptations or self-desire, to live, to do the right thing. We analyze these definitions. They really go deep into the spiritual realm of man's life. In addition, or individual things like wealth, you know, nations have, many individuals have wealth. They have positions. They have, they're well educated, intellect, natural abilities, and talents seem very important. They are important. But the fact count very little without character. We have seen in our country today, we have seen many of our leaders in high places that did not maintain character. And you can see what has happened to their leadership and the hurt that has been brought on this country because of the lack of character. One of the interesting points to note here about character is it is not hereditative. It is not inborn. It is something you and I have to develop. And the point is, it takes time. So let's look at the ingredients that are necessary to develop character. First of all, we have to have freedom of choice to choose the way we are going to go. This means that there are no alternative way to go. So we can see an example given to us in the book of Joshua. You know, we have to have a choice. There has to be a choice. You come to the forks in the road, and one fork goes to the left, the other's to the right. One is wrong, the other is right. Which one do we choose? Well, Joshua was able to distinguish the right and make the right choice. Please turn to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. As he was the leader at that point, the nation of Israel. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 15, this is what he said to the nation of Israel. Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And in verse 15, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua already had his mind made up. There was no guessing. He knew exactly what he needed to do. Joshua chose the right way, the way that will lead into the kingdom of God. So when we reflect on character, there's one important thing to remember. Out of all the wealth out of all the positions and abilities, power, and all material things that one is able to acquire in this life, there is only one thing that you will take with you from this life to the next, and that is your character. That will go with you from this life to the next life into the kingdom of God. Mr. Armstrong talked a lot about when we were looking at those, the first fruits, those was called at this time, and he was saying, and he always talked a lot about all the millions and billions of people coming up in the resurrection that will have different attitudes, different forms of character, that we as kings and priests and teachers will have to deal with that situation. And with God's help, teach those people the right way. But you're going to be confronted with all types of character that these people had and died, be resurrected with that attitude, that character. It has to be corrected. Though Satan is not there, but still that character is with that person. So let's notice another example where all the essential ingredients to develop character are there. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So there's three points to keep in mind here as we notice, first of all, God commanded or instructed the man, told him what he should do. And secondly, God did not force the man to go a certain way. And he did not restrain man from going the wrong way. But the definition of right and wrong was clearly given to Adam. He warned him of the wrong way. God said, in the day that you eat of that tree that I instructed you not to eat of, you surely will die. So God doesn't, he gives us the instructions, brethren, from this instructed book. It's all in here. But, you know, he's not going to twist our arm and have us to obey this. He's given us the clear picture of what will happen if we don't, and the clear instructions of what will happen if we do. But he's not going to twist our arm and persuade us to do it. And it was the same way with Adam. So after this conversation, God stood back. He did not stand over them with a rod, whip them, prevent them from sinning. So looking at this from the point of from the point of character building, they passed it by. Adam and Eve used no self-discipline, no self-control. Neither one of them did anything to stop their desire to take of the fruit and eat of it. Therefore, no character was developed, but a pattern for themselves and their children after that. Doing the wrong thing follows us until this day. What we find here is very clear, that the right choice would have led to right character development. But as you know, there was no character built in this situation. As we said before, God never forces anyone to go his way of life. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Begin reading in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21. Because although also they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made with corruptible men and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So in these verses, Apostle Paul shows us here in these verses that we are without excuse. We cannot plead ignorance of God's way, especially when we have had the knowledge of it. Paul said in verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that he's made. So we can understand a lot about God just looking at the creation that he has made. So God is saying here, they made the choice. I don't want God in my life. This is what they're saying. I will not express my gratitude and appreciation to him. I will not humble myself before God. I want nothing to do with him. I reject him in my life. So God said, okay, if you want to do those things, then go ahead. So notice verse 24. So God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. So now, God wasn't going to be there and plead and twist their arms, don't go this way. No, he just gave them up. Let them go their way. And that type of attitude, that type of character, is just what I finished saying a few minutes ago, brethren. That type of character is going to come up into the resurrection. And you will be there to correct those people. So we see here a principle of God. God does not compel man to follow his ways. He teaches, he shows, he commands, but he certainly does not compel nor force anyone to go that way. So in this world of Satan, it is very necessary for us, brethren, I say it over and over again, to do everything within our power to develop righteous character. But how do we do this? And what is involved in developing holy and righteous character? Because this kind of character must be developed by the choice and by the intent of one in whom it exists. So for the remaining of the time that I have left in the sermon, we're going to see how and what we must do to develop holy and righteous character. Building holy and righteous character is not easy. It's a lifelong process. There are two things that must be used daily in building righteous character. And if we use these things, brethren, we will never fall short of building character, because there will never be a time in your life that you will not have the opportunity to build character on a daily basis, no matter how small or how great that may be. Think about what I just said. There will never be a time in your life that you will not have the opportunity on a daily basis to build character. And you say, well, what is he talking about? Well, if you were driving along, just maybe had the wrong thought that passed through your mind, you don't want to have that. Maybe that thought wasn't pleasing to God. You don't want to have that thought anymore. So maybe you have a chance to ask God to correct that thought, remove that thought from my mind. You have built character. We all seek to have the character like God, to be just like God. See, God has established his character to the point where that he can't sin. He won't sin. He will never sin. The character is stamped there. Wouldn't you like to have that? I would. I would. I look forward to that sometime. Because we fight daily building character, correcting things. And when we go home in the afternoon, we can think about a lot of things that we didn't do from the time you got up and went to work or whatever that you should have done. Maybe it was calling somebody. Maybe it was somebody you need to pray for. Maybe you need to just do something differently. But you look back and you said, I should have done that differently. I shouldn't have done this. This was the wrong thing. Well, you passed the opportunity that at that point to build character in that sense. But it's not that you have to repeat that same thing over and over again. God shows us that once we see these things, understand these things, then we should build character in that situation so we don't repeat that over again. So we have to, on a daily basis, build the character. Maybe we went to, past the opportunity of prayer, and we didn't pray for 2 days or something. We lost that opportunity to build character to pray every day. Maybe we want to pray 3 times a day. David prayed continuously. The Psalms show all of his prayers and things that he gave in his relationship with God. Building character. There's always a way to build character. Even, just it's the simple things that this Satan throws at us all the time, keep us off track. But, just even driving, somebody pull out in front of you and you have all kinds of thoughts coming through your mind. Well, why did he do that? Let the man go. Just let him go. Don't think nothing bad about him. You don't need to, corrupt your character there. Just let him go. And we see people at the stoplight, they're just so, they're ready to go. I saw one just coming in today. There's a light changing and just a little hesitation there. But, the man was behind him. He's rammed down on his horn. Move, move, move. Patience, no patience. See, character is a development of patience. Character is a development of faith. So these are the things we have a chance every day to build on. So let's notice three main substances needed to develop and maintain the character. Three main subjects. In developing righteous character, one must make the right choices. We talked a little bit about that in the beginning. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. From the beginning, We see the formation of man as a physical being in bodily form of God, and it will not end until, you know, mankind is in the nature and character of God. So we see the accomplishments of this. God gives man free moral agency to enable us to choose to follow his ways and assist in the development of the image in us. So since we are to make the right choices, how would we know what choices to make? Well, the truth of the matter is, brethren, we don't. We would not unless we are guided by the Holy Spirit. So we can't build character on our own. We must have assistance from God in many ways. God is not merely eternal, he is supreme. In every quality of goodness, and in him absolutely no evil dwells. This goodness in the scripture is called holiness, which is the transcendent of purity. It permeates every aspect, every attribute of God, his life. God's character is holy, and it flows out from him in acts of love, making it impossible for him to do anything evil. This is the way of life towards which he is drawing us to be like him. So as we look back over the years, especially since we were called, you know, God has called us, we can see many areas in our life where we have built character in. And I hope that you appreciate that. And I mentioned this one time long ago, you know, I can say this with confidence, and not everybody here today, you have built character from, you know, the Ten Commandments. You won't steal. You could walk through it with money laying on a desk. You won't take that. You see, the character have been established in that point. This is what I'm trying to say, brethren. As we go through step by step in this life, we have to put the stamp on this character that will never fail. We stick to it no matter what, because this is the character that we're going to carry into the kingdom of God. So God is supreme, and every quality of goodness is absolutely a part of his life. Deuteronomy chapter 30. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, begin reading in verse 15. In this chapter, one must make in life, it shows one must make in life to, and determine his destiny. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Verse 16, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. Verse 17. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the earth which you cross over the Jordan to go to possess. Then God says in verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. So, brethren, God is urging us to make serious and deliberate choices to propel us toward the conclusion of his purpose. He requires us to commit and to make decisions in matters of morality. And remaining neutral is not an option. Brethren, the issues of life are sharply defined in the Scriptures. Obedience, disobedience, life, death, good and evil. So we said that three main substances were needed to develop righteous character. And the first one we just finished, one must make the right choices. Now the second one, one must strive to obey and live by God's laws. This is the second requirement for building holy and righteous character. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verse 1 and 2. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. Verse 3, they also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. So the way we can be undefiled is to walk in the ways of the Lord. So the word walk here, of course, is a verb. It requires actions. It requires doing something. So you could be seated where you are now and you could think about walking to the back of this room to go out of this lobby. But unless somebody physically picked you up and carried you out, you could sit here till tomorrow morning thinking about it, and if you don't get up and move, you'll still be here tomorrow morning. So what I'm saying, brethren, we must take actions. We must do something. And this is what the Psalms is saying to us, that we walk in the way of the Lord and walk in the way of his commandments. Romans chapter 2. Paul elaborates more on this. Just hold your places here in Psalm. We'll come back. But let's go to Romans chapter 2 and verse 13. Romans chapter 2, verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. So that's plain knowledge to us there. And then we go to James. James chapter 1. Begin reading in verse 22 of James chapter 1. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observed himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So we see here then the blessings that come from being a doer. Now it's dangerous to be a listener and not a doer of God's word. So when we listen to God's word and be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, God said we would be blessed. So listening to the word of God reveals to us as individuals what we are, what we ought to be, so we can see that what is wrong and what we must do to make it right. When we listen to the word of God. But if we are only hearers, we remain just as we are, and all the hearing has been of no avail. Doesn't do us any good. We don't build any character from just listening and not doing anything from what we've heard. We must take action. So why is it dangerous to hear the instructions from God's word and do not do them? Because when we follow this path, brethren, character cannot be built. Why? Because, let's notice James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. So this is what the scripture says. You know, if we listen to the word of God, we understand what we have heard, and we know that what we have heard is from the scriptures, and we don't do those things, then it becomes a sin to us. This is what the scripture says. So we ask the question here, can we build godly character while practicing sin? So the answer is no, we cannot. Once we have the knowledge of something we are doing is not right, then God said we should make a change. Do the right thing. Please turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Begin reading in verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sins, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So we do not fulfill the law by walking in the Spirit instead of the flesh, but God fulfills the law in us when we walk after the Spirit in God. Then we are assured of righteousness of God, which the law could not provide, but the atonement of Christ does provide. Now let's return to Psalm 119. In this psalm, you will find the path of building righteous character. Building righteous character must start within the heart. And the scriptures describes the heart as the inner function and control of our mind. Psalm 119, verse 10. So the psalmist writes, "What my whole heart, with my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments." This is the desire that he had. Verse 11, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you." So having God's word planted in our hearts will give us a strong defense against Satan and his tactics. Because, you know, having the knowledge of the scriptures, the knowledge of what God says, when something comes up all of a sudden, then, you know, you can quickly say within your mind, you know, "I can't do that. I can't go this way because, you know, this is not what God is pleasing to God." So what has happened there? You have built character in that area. You wasn't weak enough to go that way. The character there that you had built was strong, and you heeded to God's word. Verse 30. "I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me." Verse 34. "Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart." Verse 35, make me walk in the path of your commandments, that I may delight in it." Verse 37, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, and receive me in your way." And I mean, you know, this is an important verse here, you know. Turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things. How many worthless things are you able to see if you walk down the streets of Greensboro or somewhere else? A lot of worthless things that does nothing to help you build character. And it's the same way we could say, ask God to, you know, just same way with our ears. We don't need to hear a lot of worthless things that damage our character. So ask God to just turn them off. Help me just turn them off. I don't want to hear that. You know, we have all this music that's caught up now. It's indescribable in my mind. But, you know, we don't need to be strung up in all of these things. They're worthless. So the psalmist says, to help me not to look on the worthless things that he sees every day. The temptations, of course, is there as well. God's word must be a part of our inner being, which will give us the desire to follow God's commandments as we strive to develop righteous character. Let's notice substance number three, our last one. One must seek to be filled with humility. This is the last one that we will notice. One must seek to be filled with humility. So, brethren, if we are going to develop the kind of character that is pleasing with God, then we must seek to be filled with humility. Please turn to Zephaniah chapter 2. A little book nestled between Habakkuk and Haggai. This is where you will find Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger." You know, that last phrase says a lot. It says a lot that if we do this, if we seek righteousness, if we seek justice, it said it may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. So, you know, there will be people on this earth when God returns. There's going to be a lot of wars and calamities. And God's people will be caught up in a lot of this. But it says, you know, if we're doing the right thing, it may be that we will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. Now, please turn to Numbers. Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. And it would be nice if God could say this about all of us. I would that I was, He could say this about me, but I'm still trying to build character. I've been trying to be humble. But notice what God said. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that be nice if God could say that about all of us today? Here God placed upon Moses the recognition of being more humble than all men on the face of the earth. So this shows that God was very pleased with the attitude and humility of Moses. Brethren, we should pray continually. Ask God for the humble spirit. Reading the scriptures, we find humility has to be one of the greatest strengths a person could have. And also we find the lack of it can be one of the biggest curses in our lives if we don't have it. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So these verses show a state of humility. Those who are poor in spirit are not men, and are men rather, and women who have realized that material things mean nothing and that God means everything. So Jesus is not saying that material poverty is a good thing, because poverty is not good. It's not a good thing. Jesus would never have called a state of blessing where people live in slums and do not have enough to eat. This is not what he's talking about. Jesus was teaching that poverty, which is blessed, is the poverty of spirit when people realize their own lack of spiritual resources to meet life and to find help and strength in God. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Begin reading in verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever," verse 4, "therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus is showing that a child, we see the characteristics in a child should mark out men and women who are seeking to be humble. There are many humble characteristics in children. We saw in the video there, just Mr. Cubitt, lovely little children. And you just long to be in the God's kingdom where you can nurture and teach those parents and all that don't know God's truth, and, you know, to care and to love their little children. Children are a blessing. The Bible says that to us. So there are so many lovely characteristics. The power to forgive. You know, you can spank a little child and, you know, within 4 or 5 minutes, he'll come back and hug you. But you can see the difference in the children's humility and the difference in adults. The children have the power to forget, even when parents and adults treat them unjustly, as they so often do. And there is also the child's dependency, which shows humility. The child dependency is total natural. They never think that they can face life by themselves. That doesn't go through their mind. They have their parents. And we should look in this direction as being, our humility in this lifestyle, and saying that, you know, we should feel the same way, because our Father, God, our Father, will take care of us. It's the same way with these children. They don't have to worry about their well-being, because their parents will take care of them. They are perfectly content to be utterly dependent on those who love them and care for them. And this is the way we should be. There is the child's trust that the parents will provide for their needs. When we were children and growing up, we didn't worry about clothing. We didn't worry about whether or not we had a place to sleep. Our parents took care of all those things. Shouldn't we be dependent on our Father for the same things? The child's humility is the pattern of the behavior of a Christian. And the child's dependency and trust are the pattern of Christian attitude toward God the Father. So humility is a peaceful, relaxed state of mind. It doesn't fret over others or things. It doesn't have to be in the spotlight of life. It doesn't have to worry about being wrong, because its hopes is discover the errors that I've made today and the shortcomings so I can improve. Humility seeks the truth that it may grow in building character and stronger way of life. But out of all the things we have discussed today, we must not leave out the importance of prayer. In order to build righteous character, we must overcome. We cannot overcome without the help of God. This is a must. We must always look to God for strength in overcoming. 1 John chapter 5 for the final scripture. First John chapter 5. Verse 3 and 4. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So whatever is born of God overcomes the world. So prayer is that first step in overcoming. Righteous character cannot be borrowed. Righteous character cannot be purchased with wealth or anything else. It can only be developed. So let's pray, brethren, and God will help us develop the righteous character that is required for the kingdom of God.